Today we're building a respatch carve system for reg-infused chaos in Ableton Live 12, and if that sounds wild, don't worry, we're going to keep it beginner-friendly and very practical. The goal here is not just to make a bass sound, the goal is to make a bass system, something with a solid sub, a gritty moving res layer, and a carve setup that lets the bass breathe around the kick, snare, breaks and vocal chops. That's the kind of thing that makes drum and bass feel heavy without turning into a blurry mess. So let's set the vibe first. In DNB, especially ragga-flavored stuff, the bass has a job. The sub gives weight, the res gives attitude and motion, and the carve system shapes when and how that energy appears. Think of it like controlled chaos. Big energy, but with space. Dirty, but still readable. Start by creating a new MIDI track and name it something simple like bass res carve. We're going to build this with an instrument rack so we can keep the layers separate and easy to manage. Inside that rack, make two chains, one called sub and one called res. That separation matters a lot. A lot of beginners try to make one giant bass patch do everything. But in fast music, that usually gets messy fast. Splitting the roles makes everything cleaner. The sub stays low, stable, and mono. The res handles the movement, width, and grit. Let's build the sub first. On the sub chain, load operator. The easiest setup is a sine wave. Turn off anything extra so it stays pure and simple. You want this to feel like the anchor of the whole drop. Keep the attack super short, basically instant. Release can be short too, just enough so the notes don't click off awkwardly. Then add EQ8 after operator. Don't try to make the sub sound flashy. Just clean it up if needed. If it feels boxy, you can gently dip some low mids around 200 to 400 Hz. But be careful not to overdo it. The sub should be solid, not processed to death. After that, drop on utility and set the width to zero. That forces the sub to stay mono, which is exactly what we want. In drum and bass, especially with heavy kicks and breaks, mono sub is non-negotiable if you want the low end to hit properly. Now let's move to the res layer, which is where the personality lives. On the res chain, load analog or wavetable. If you're just starting out, analog is a nice easy choice. Use two saw waves and attune one slightly. Not too much. You don't want a huge trans super saw. You want a tense, swarming, slightly angry mid-bass texture. A little detune goes a long way. You should hear motion, not seasickness. Set the filter to a low pass if you want to darken it a bit, and keep the envelope fairly quick, so the notes feel punchy and responsive. Now add saturator after the synth. Turn on soft clip and push the drive gently. Just a little bit of saturation can make the res wake up and give you the grit you need to cut through breaks. If you overdo it, the bass turns fizzy and loses punch, so keep checking it at the same volume on and off. That way you can hear whether it's actually better, not just louder. If you want extra width, you can add chorus ensemble, but use it carefully. This is one of those things that sounds amazing in solo, and then suddenly makes the mix mushy. Keep it subtle. The sub stays mono, and the res can be wider, but not so wide that it fights the kick and snare. Now for the core of the lesson, the carve system. This is where we make the bass move like it's reacting to the drums. Add auto filter after the res chain. Set it to low pass, and start with the cutoff fairly low if you want a darker intro feel. The magic here is not just setting a filter. The magic is automating it, or using clip envelopes, so the bass opens and closes over time. That movement is what makes the bass feel alive. In a DNB drop, if the bass just stays fully open all the time, it gets fatiguing. But if it breathes, it starts answering the rhythm. It feels like it's speaking with the drums instead of sitting on top of them. Try a simple two bar idea. In bar 1, keep the filter a little more closed. In bar 2, open it up on the first half, then close it again before the snare lands. That little shift creates tension and release, and it works brilliantly in edits. Next, we're going to carve space for the drums using EQ8 on the res chain. This is where you make sure the bass and drums are not fighting for the same real estate. If the sub is already handling the low end, high pass the res a bit so it stays out of the way. Then look for muddy areas around 200 to 350 Hz and make a small dip if needed. If the bass is clashing with the kick, you can also create a little space around 80 to 150 Hz depending on your kick tuning and arrangement. And if the tone gets harsh, try a gentle reduction somewhere in the 2 to 5 kHz area. The important word there is gentle. Beginners often think carving means huge boosts and giant cuts. But in DNB, tiny changes can make a massive difference. A small dip can suddenly make the snare pop, and that's what gives the groove its attitude. Now let's make the bass actually work with the drums. Write a simple MIDI pattern. Don't overcomplicate it. Start with 2 to 4 notes in a bar, or even one note every half bar, if you want to keep it simple. The idea is to let the rhythm breathe. Place bass notes in relation to the snare, not just the kick. That's a huge part of rag-infused DNB energy. The snare often carries the swagger, so the bass should leave room for it. Try this mindset. If the snare is coming, don't crowd it. Let the bass hit before or after it, not all over it. Shorter notes can actually feel heavier than long ones, because they create more punch and leave more space for the break to speak. Since this lesson is about edits, we also want to think in sections. Use automation to create contrast over time. Maybe the bass stays darker for the first couple of bars, then opens up on the drop. Maybe the saturation increases slightly before a fill. Maybe the volume ducks a touch before the snare hit and then slams back in. Keep those moves small. In this style, a tiny change in filter cutoff or drive often feels bigger than a huge volume jump. Now let's talk about the fun part, resampling. Once your reese is sounding good, record a few bars to audio. You can route it to a new audio track and resample the performance. Then chop that audio into small pieces. Reverse one hit. Add a tiny fade so it doesn't click. Move a chopped bass stab into a transition. That's where the rag-infused chaos starts to come alive. This is one of the best tricks for edits because audio can feel more aggressive than MIDI. Once the sound is printed, you can cut it into custom fills and switch-ups. It becomes less like a loop and more like a performance. Now check the whole rack in context. Make sure the sub is still mono and strong. Make sure the reese is wide enough to feel animated, but not so wide that it gets cloudy. If the mix starts feeling blurry, reduce the width a bit and simplify the processing before adding more. A really useful teacher tip here is this. If the loop feels busy, remove one thing before adding another. Fewer notes, less distortion, or less stereo spread can make the groove hit harder. In fast music, restraint is power. For arrangement, it helps to make two versions of the same idea. One can be the main drop bass, fuller and more aggressive, with a more open filter and stronger saturation. The other can be an edit version, with more space, more filter movement, and maybe a chopped audio fill. That way, your track doesn't just loop, it evolves. You get intro, build, drop, switch up, and variation. That's what keeps drum and bass moving forward. So let's recap the core idea. The sub is clean, centered, and stable. The reese is the wide, gritty layer that brings motion and character. The carve system uses filter movement, eck, note spacing, and automation to create space and energy. And the edit side uses resampling and chopping to turn the bass into something that can switch gears and answer the drums and vocals. If you want to practice this right now, do a quick 2-bar loop. Build the sub with operator, build the reese with analog, add saturator, auto filter, and EQ8. Then write a simple bass rhythm with just a few notes. Automate the filter so one bar is darker and the next is more open. Then resample it and chop one bass hit into a fill. That's your first controlled chaos loop. And once you've got that working, you're not just making a bass patch anymore. You're building a reusable DNB system that can carry drops, edits, switch-ups, and reggae-style tension with way more clarity and impact. That's the whole trick. Heavy but controlled. Wild but readable. Now go make that bass talk back to the drums.